Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda.
Jaya Advaita Chandra, Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
Jaya Advaita Chandra, Jaya Gaura
Jai Jai Shri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda.
Jai Jai Shri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda.
Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
Jai Jai Shri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda.
Jai Jai Shri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda.
Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
So, this morning, we'll read from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Leela Chapter 13, the advent of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Today is special day. It is the day of the festival and feast of Sri Jagannath Mishra, the father of Lord Chaitanya. On the actual appearance day, well, Lord Chaitanya appeared in the evening, moonrise time. And the practice is that on that day, that evening when the devotees break fast, that an Ekadasi feast or Ekadasi prasadam is served. And then the following day, a feast to celebrate the appearance of the Lord, a feast with grains, like a regular feast, you could say, is served to all the devotees and the people and visitors. This is what actually happened, though. 534 years ago is that on this day, the day after the appearance of Lord Chaitanya, Jagannath Mishra had a big festival. And he served a nice feast to everybody. And this is actually the practice also in regard to Janmashtami, the appearance day of Lord Krishna. Lord Krishna, of course, appeared at midnight, and the practice is generally, at least, to serve Ekadasi prasadam that night, midnight, or at least very early morning, and then the following day, the day after Janmashtami, which, of course, we celebrate as Srila Prabhupada's Vyasa Puja particularly, but it's also celebrated as the festival and feast of Nanda Maharaj, celebrating the appearance of Lord Krishna. So that's our program today, that we'll read some verses describing the events immediately following, like immediately on the same evening, following the appearance of Lord Chaitanya, and then some of the other events and things as things developed in the days and in the time following the appearance of Lord Chaitanya, as he goes into his very, very early childhood pastimes. Yes, so therefore we'll read from this Adi Leela chapter 13, the advent of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And first of all, we'll read verse 98. Nadia Udayagiri Purna Chandra Gorahari Kripakari Haila Udaya Papatama Haila Nasha Tri Jagatira Ulasa Jagabari Haridwani Haya. Thus, by his causeless mercy, the full moon, Gaurahari, rose in the district of Nadia, which is compared to Udayagiri, where the sun first becomes visible in India. His rising in the sky dissipated the darkness of sinful life, and thus the three worlds became joyful and chanted the holy name of the Lord. So some days ago, actually, what was it, Friday? It was Friday. We had a program, and there we began to go into this. It's actually a great ocean of the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya by talking about the events immediately surrounding his appearance, that it was the full moon evening, Purnima, as it was last night, but there was a lunar eclipse. A lunar eclipse. The esoteric understanding of the lunar eclipse significance and what's really going on behind the scenes is that the moon, our regular moon, of course, is silvery, and it was full moon, so it's as bright as it ever becomes, silvery moon. But Lord Chaitanya, he is known as Gaurachandra. Gaurachandra, Chandra meaning moon, and Gaura meaning golden. So, and he was to appear just at that time that the full moon, the regular full moon, was rising. So the golden moon of Lord Chaitanya was rising at the time that the regular silver full moon was rising. And the sort of esoteric understanding is that our silver moon felt embarrassed. I will go up into the sky in my best feature possible, but then the golden moon of Lord Chaitanya will be there also, and I will look very cheap and stupid, and just, who cares about silver when they can get gold? Gold is many times more valuable. And actually the quality of the metal is significantly higher than the quality of silver. So therefore the esoteric understanding is that the regular moon covered his face to avoid the embarrassment. But what happened, what astronomically was that Rahu, the black planet, and demoniac planet actually, attacked the silver moon and covered the silver moon. This is what an eclipse is generally. And therefore, there was an eclipse. But there's also this esoteric understanding, which is very nice in terms of the appearance of Lord Chaitanya. And the practice in those days was that when there was an eclipse, that people, so many people, really vast numbers, would go to the nearest sacred river or kund, body of water, and immerse themselves there during the period of the whole eclipse, because the eclipse is very inauspicious. So to avoid the inauspiciousness, they would go to some sacred place and bathe in some sacred body of water and chant the holy names. And there again, there's significance in that the mission of Lord Chaitanya is to establish and spread and get everyone to chant the holy names. So, thank you. So this was happening. And therefore Lord Chaitanya appeared and he was very happy. He was very happy that his mission was already being established, even though he hadn't really done anything other than just appear in the family of Jagannath Mishra and Sachimata. So here we are then. These things are going on right now at this stage in the narration in Chaitanya Charitamrita. So at that time, Sri Advaita Acharya Prabhu in his own house at Shantipur was dancing in a pleasing mood. Taking Haridas Thakur with him, he danced and loudly chanted Hare Krishna. But why they were dancing, no one could understand. Of course, they were dancing because the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Chaitanya, had just appeared. Meaning, talking about minutes or half an hour ago or something like that, he had just appeared right at the time that the full moon rose and was eclipsed. So Advaita Acharya and Haridas Thakur, of course, they're great Vaishnavas, and particularly Advaita Acharya, he knew about the background in terms of the appearance of the Lord, the mission of the Lord, when he would appear. In fact, he had been engaged for some time beforehand in praying for the Lord to appear, because he could see that the conditions, what to speak in the rest of the world, but even in India, the conditions amongst the people in terms of Krishna consciousness, the conditions were bad. They were not good. If people were religious, which many were not, there were many impersonalists and like Buddhist types who are not religious as such. They don't really accept seriously any form of God. But if people were religious, then they were just using religion for material purposes. In other words, demigod worship, karma kandya, all these types of yajnas and different performances. In Tamil Nadu, I imagine they were carrying kavadi and doing Thai pusam and all these things in order to get material things. And they couldn't see beyond that. And if anyone tried to introduce some idea beyond that, beyond just using God or some demigod in order to facilitate our ongoing material existence, if anyone tried to preach to them about some higher principle, they would reject it. And they would reject it very strongly. So therefore in Navadvip at that time in Bengal, where Lord Chaitanya appeared, the devotees, the Vaishnavas who were chanting Hare Krishna, they were really, you could say, looked down upon. And they were not taken seriously. And even they were treated abusively by the Hindu community. Yes. So because those materialistic principles of religion were so deeply ingrained in the hearts of those people who were at least religious. Yes. So Advaita Acharya then, seeing all of this, And he was the leader of the devotees in that area at that time. He was the chief of the Vaishnavas. So he then, seeing all of this and understanding what it all meant and the significance and what the need was to change things and help people and save people from just becoming totally dragged away from the real mission of life, he tried to preach, but he couldn't really do much. As we mentioned, the people wouldn't take it seriously. But then he decided that if I can't do it, then we have to call for the Lord. Only he can do it. So he would regularly pray to Krishna to appear. And he's also a form of the Supreme Lord, so he knows what's going on the sort of cosmic level. So therefore, even though he was in Shantipur right now, at the time of the rising of the moon, at the time of the appearance of Lord Chaitanya, even though he was in Shantipur, which is, you know, it's not too far, but it's probably, it might be 30 kilometers or something like that, when there's no communication other than just walking and speaking to someone or something like that, then that's quite some distance away. But because he was aware of the higher plans, when he saw that here's the moon rising and being eclipsed, then he understood what's happening, that the Lord is appearing. Lord Chaitanya is appearing. Krishna is appearing as Lord Chaitanya to fulfill my desire that the people can be delivered. So therefore he was dancing and chanting in his house in Shantipur, which is still there. It's all still there. A fairly substantial setup is there at Shantipur, the house of Advaita Acharya. And Haridas Thakur was with him. They were roughly the same age, means a good generation older than Lord Chaitanya, even a little more, maybe 30 years, maybe 40, but they were quite substantially older than Lord Chaitanya. So the two of them, as great Vaishnavas, they were dancing and chanting. But the general community, as we described them, they didn't understand why are these people doing this. Aha. So let's carry on. Deki Uparaga Hasi Shigra Ganga Gate Asi Anande Karila Ganga Snan Pana Uparaga Chale Apanara Manobale Brahmanere Dila Nanadana. It's a very beautiful meter of the Bengali. It's the same meter as Sri Guru Charana Padma. Seeing the lunar eclipse and laughing, Advaita Acharya and Haridas Thakur immediately went to the bank of the Ganges and bathed in the river in great jubilation. In those days, well, if you've been to the place, you would know, there is a dry bed of the Ganges just immediately at the back of Advaita Acharya's property. It's a sizable, I mean, in terms of what you get in a city or a town, it's a sizable piece of land. It's probably, it might be an acre. I'm sure it's more than half an acre. But at the end of it is the dry bed of the Ganges. In those days, the Ganges was running there. In fact, the Ganges was just running everywhere. And even now you go there and the Ganges is almost just running everywhere. Every few kilometers you come across some little piece of the Ganges. So they went just to the back of the property and there was the Ganges. And so they took bath in great jubilation, understanding what had happened. Lord Chaitanya has appeared. Taking advantage of the occasion of the lunar eclipse, Advaita Acharya, by his mental strength, distributed various types of charity to the Brahmins. Yes, so I don't know if our Hindu people here are really aware that when there's an eclipse, either lunar or solar, any eclipse, householders, it is very beneficial in terms of acquiring punya, religious benefit, and even transcendental benefit, but any type of religious benefit. It is very beneficial to the householder to give charity to poor people, to Brahmins, to suitable candidates, even particularly the poor. And as a result, one acquires punya. So therefore, and it was just a practice, it was just done. So Advaita Acharya distributed all different types of charity to the Brahmins, because the Brahmins are generally not wealthy. Even often, traditionally at least, if they're really living like Brahmins, they'll be living in quite poor conditions. So he did that. And similarly, when Krishna appeared, Vasudev did the same thing. However, Vasudev was in the prison, if you remember. Not easy to give, you know, whatever, various types of charity to the Brahmins. But mentally he did, because devotional service is such an amazing thing that if somehow or other you are, there's certain physical circumstances which just make it physically impossible to render service. If you just think about rendering service, you get the same benefit. And in Nectar of Devotion, I'm sure you've heard, there's a famous story of one devotee who was too poor. What to speak of not being able to do deity worship? He couldn't even get deities. He was just too poor. But he went to the Hare Krishna temple, and the devotee was giving class and said that if you can't do service, just think of doing it, and you get the same benefit. So therefore, in his mind, he started a massive program, huge program of opulent deity worship in a beautiful temple in his mind, and offering all sorts of foodstuffs and clothing and jewelry, etc., etc. And he was very satisfied. But one day, somehow or other, a doubt entered his mind. Is it true? Is it real? Is it actually happening? Or am I just daydreaming? Yeah, is it just some fiction, the secret life of Walter Mitty? Anyway, just dreaming. I'm just some ordinary person, but I dream, oh, now I'm a hero, or now I'm a king, but actually I'm just some ordinary person from the street. So, you know, of course, if you can give charity, you should give it. But if you can't, well, any time really, but lunar or solar eclipse, give it within your mind. But if the temple is raising funds for developing the temple project, and they come and ask you for a donation, do give something. don't just ask them, how much do you need? 10 million rands. Oh, in my mind, I'll give you 20. Just. All right, anyway. So, yes, these things were going on. And it seems, we'll read this verse, next verse here. It seems even Haridas Thakur was not totally aware. When he saw that the whole world was jubilant, Haridas Thakur, his mind astonished, directly and indirectly expressed himself to Advaita Acharya, "Your dancing and distributing charity are very pleasing to me. I can understand that there's some special purpose in these actions." Acharya Ratna and Srivas Thakur were overwhelmed with joy, and immediately they went to the bank of the Ganges to bathe in her waters. Their minds full of happiness, they chanted the Hare Krishna mantra and gave charity by mental strength. In this way, all the devotees, wherever they were situated, in every city and every country, danced, performed Sankirtan, and gave charity by mental strength on the plea of the lunar eclipse, their minds overwhelmed with joy. So now the scene shifts to the house of Jagannath Mishra and Mother Sachi. All sorts of respectable Brahmin gentlemen and ladies, carrying plates filled with various gifts, came with their presentations. Seeing the newborn child, whose form resembled natural, glaring gold, all of them happily offered their blessings. His body resembled natural, glaring gold. Molten. I don't know. Now, you may have seen, well, you've probably got some gold jewelry. You may have seen a, what you call it, Kruger Rand. But have you seen molten gold, liquid gold? Oh, that's something. Even, you know, even if you got like 22 carat from India, and it's really quite bright gold, but compared to molten gold, it's not very special. But little Nimai, little Lord Chaitanya, he looked like glaring gold, molten gold. Dressing themselves as the wives of Brahmins, all the celestial ladies, including the wives of Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, Lord Nrisingadev, King Indra, and Vasishta Rishi, along with Ramba, a dancing girl of heaven, came there with varieties of gifts. In outer space, all the demigods, including the inhabitants of Gandhava Loka, Siddha Loka, and Charana Loka, offered their prayers and dance to the accompaniment of music, songs, and the beating of drums. Similarly, in Navadvip city, all the professional dancers, musicians, and blessers gathered together, dancing in great jubilation. professional blessers. They would compose poems on different special occasions to honor the occasion. So they're professional blessers. So at the house of Jagannath Mishra, and it was not a big house. It's not like some wealthy person's house. It was, one would imagine, smaller than your typical Chatsworth house. You know, anyway, like a 2-bedroom Chatsworth traditional house. You know what I mean? Made with cinder blocks, asbestos roof. Maybe smaller than that. And you got all these people. You got Lord Brahma. You got Lord Shiva. Oh, you got these people coming in from all over the universe. So what a situation. No one could understand who was coming and who was going, who was dancing and who was singing, nor could they understand one another's language. Because there, this is Bengal. And in Bengal, when in Bengal, speak Bengali, if you can. But even, you know, the devotees, I've discussed this at great length in different situations. The Bengali that the Bengalis speak today is different from the Bengali in Chaitanya Charitamrita. There's significant differences. Yeah. And, you know, I've had this experience for our books. We've photographed some of the original manuscripts, or at least, you know, a page or two or something like that, of the original manuscripts of Chaitanya Charitamrita and Chaitanya Bhagavat, and given the photographs to, like, Bengali language scholars, and asked them, what verse is this? Can you tell us? Can you look it up and tell us what verse this is? And they can't even read it. Yeah. So this was like a very classical form of Bengali. But you've got Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, and Lord Indra, and who else was there? Inhabitants of Gandhava Loka, Siddha Loka, Charana Loka. You got the wife of Lord Nrsingadev, Bhumi. You got all these people. They don't speak Bengali. They speak Sanskrit, Devanagari, which even at that time, 500 or so years ago, it was a scholarly language. It was not a, you know, a social language. So they could not understand one another's language. And therefore, Jagannath Mishra and Mother Sachi were wondering, these people were walking around, talking in different languages, and they're wondering, who are these people? And not only that, but some of these people, like demigods and others, some of them just assumed ordinary forms, like village people, Bengali village people. Some of them were invisible. And so you got these invisible people. I don't know if you ever read the book, The Invisible Man. Anyway, Hare Krishna. You got these invisible people wandering through the house, talking to each other. And it's just like this voice is walking through the house. So it was a little shocking also. Yet all unhappiness and lamentation were immediately dissipated, and people became all jubilant. Thus, Jagannath Mishra was also overwhelmed with joy. Chandrasekhar Acharya and Srivas Thakur both came to Jagannath Mishra and drew his attention in various ways. They performed the ritualistic ceremonies prescribed at the time of birth according to religious principles. Jagannath Mishra also gave varieties of charity, because they're Brahmins. They're like prominent Brahmins. Chandrasekhar Acharya was, although Advaita Acharya was the leader, Chandrasekhar Acharya was also in that top group of Brahmins in the Navadvip area, and Srivas Thakur was also. Srivas Thakur. Whatever riches Jagannath Mishra collected in the form of gifts and presentations, well, anyway, so they perform different functions, yes, like different samskars at different points in people's lives. Traditionally, to invoke auspiciousness, when a person goes from one phase of life into another, you know, like new and different phase of life, then some ceremony will be performed to help the person cross over into the new phase of life on a good footing. So, yes. So they perform different ritualistic ceremonies, and then whatever riches Jagannath Mishra collected in the form of gifts and presentations, and whatever he had in his house, he distributed among the Brahmins, professional singers, dancers, bhatas, and the poor. He honored them all by giving them riches in charity. The wife of Srivas Thakur, whose name was Malini, accompanied by the wife of Chandrasekhar Acharya and other ladies. Chandrasekhar Acharya is also known as Acharya Ratna, means the jewel amongst the Acharyas. So their wives and other ladies came there in great happiness to worship the baby with paraphernalia such as vermilion, in other words, kumkum, turmeric, oil, fused rice, bananas, and coconuts. Fused rice, what's that? It's called kai, which, it's not puffed rice, it's a preparation, it's a prepared rice in a particular way, which is served with bananas. Then the oil and kumkum is used as an ointment to smear over the body of a newborn baby or a person who's going to marry. Haribol. Yes. So all these ceremonies being done and all these things are being done by all these different people. And they're very special people. And this was how they dealt with such situations like births in those days. Prabhupada says here though, that at the time of Lord Chaitanya, all these ceremonies were performed rigidly. But at present, such ritualistic ceremonies hardly ever take place. Generally, a pregnant mother is taken to the hospital, and as soon as the child is born, he is washed with an antiseptic, and this concludes everything. Haribol. Congratulations. I don't know what was done with you. Ask your parents. So that concludes, actually, the description in Chaitanya Charitamrita of the actual appearance of Lord Chaitanya, these are all things that were happening that night and through the night and into the next morning. It's not specifically mentioned here, but what Jagannath Mishra did do, in fact, the next day, today, he organized a big feast for all comers, just for whoever just happened to be in the vicinity, to the point that he went into the road and was just shouting out, please come, please come. So he organized big feast, and that is the specific occasion we are observing today, the feast of Jagannath Mishra. In his mood of extreme celebration on the appearance of Lord Chaitanya, little Nimai. And little Nimai, anyway, we can read a few more verses. Let's read a few more verses. One day shortly after Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was born, Advaita Acharya's wife, Sita Devi, who's worshipable by the whole world, took her husband's permission and went to see that topmost child with all kinds of gifts and presentations. She brought different kinds of golden ornaments, including armlets, necklaces, anklets, and bangles for the hands. There are also tiger nails set in gold. You've seen Krishna has tiger nails, too, set in gold from the when the temple was opened 35 years ago. There were also tiger nails set in gold, waist decorations of silk and lace, ornaments for the hands and legs, nicely printed silken saris, and a child's garment, also made of silk. Many other riches, including gold and silver coins, were also presented to the child. Riding in a palanquin covered with cloth and accompanied by maidservants, Sita Takarani came to the house of Jagannath Mishra, bringing with her many auspicious articles such as fresh grass, paddy, gorochana, turmeric, kumkum, and sandalwood. All these presentations filled a large basket. When Sita Takarani came to the house of Sachi Devi, bringing with her many kinds of eatables, dresses, and other gifts, she was astonished to see the newborn child, for she appreciated that except for a difference in color, the child was directly Krishna of Gokula himself. Seeing the transcendental bodily effulgence of the child, each of his nicely constructed limbs full of auspicious signs and resembling a form of gold, Sita Takarani was very pleased, and because of her maternal affection, she felt as if her heart was melting. She blessed the newborn child by placing fresh grass and paddy on his head and saying, may you be blessed with a long duration of life. But being afraid of ghosts and witches, she gave the child the name Nimai. Because Neem is a, you know, it's generally not usually so much taken to be a worshipable tree like banyan or particularly tulsi. But still it's taken to be very auspicious. And it's known to frighten off ghosts and spirits. Dakini, Shankini, or Tikalosh. So if you have any problems or if you're concerned about such things, keep some neem around, like oil, so there's some neem fragrance. So now the child has received the name Nimai. So in this way, Mother Sachi and Jagannath Mishra, having obtained a son who was the husband of the goddess of fortune, had all their desires fulfilled. The house was always filled with riches and grains. As they saw the beloved body of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, day after day, their pleasure increased. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu King.
Jai.
Sri Jagannath Mishra King.
Jai.
The feast of Jagannath Mishra King.
Jai.
And devotees, guess what? Following in the footsteps of Jagannath Mishra, a feast is going to be served to all of you. At what time? Sort of now or nine-ish?
Maybe more like nine.
Yeah, okay, when it's ready. So, don't go away. And in due course, prasadam will be served. Not just prasadam, but nice feast prasadam in honor of this wonderful occasion. Shri Gopanima Mahotsava Ki. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.